Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Rollo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument, and has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We had an interesting time just before the show. All of the fire alarms went on. We were a little worried that we were going to have a 1K tone throughout the whole show, which is not on this new album that I'm going to be talking about today.
We want
to make that perfectly clear. Two of my best friends I've known for years and love them dearly, Lisa Carbe and Jean-Pierre Duran. They've been on numerous times doing different things. Lisa's come and demoed bass amps, bass guitars. JP was on last week demoing guitar synthesizer. It's just their versatility just never ceases to amaze me. But they came out with this, and JP had told me about this album around November when he was working. He was pretty crazed, and he was telling me we're finishing up the Incendio Christmas album, and this was going to happen real fast. They were going to do this really quick. So I said, well, when you get it done, let's have you come on and let's talk about this. The album's called A Bridge Between, and it's Carbe and Duran, not Incendio, though they are a big part of Incendio, and we're going to talk about this album because it's a little different than what they've normally done. It's interesting because we were talking before the show, and it's kind of an evolution of recording and some of the stuff. It we'll get into the whole how it came about, what they've been doing, because obviously they've been besides playing with Incendio, which they do a lot, they've been playing as a duo, and we're going to talk a little bit about their amazing trip to China. To the Orient, which was interesting, and I think inspired them to go ahead and proceed with this and do this album from what they were doing in their live show. Now, I'm gonna play to start it off before I start talking to them. I'm gonna play the title track, which they just did a new video that Lisa just posted up, and I recommend you take a look at it. I'll share it. I grabbed it. I didn't have a chance to put it up on the site, but I'm going to share it on the All About Guitar site. But you can catch it on their Facebook page. It's a brilliant. It's really well done, and it's really clean. But here's a clip of A Bridge Between. We're going to talk about that. Thank you. beautiful piece. Really beautiful.
Thank you.
Now, let's welcome to the show. It's good to have you guys back.
Good to be back,
Jeff.
Seems like last week. But no, anyway, it's good to have you back. This is a very interesting album. I want you to kind of set it up a little bit, how it came about, what made you decide to do this, and because it's a little different than what I've seen of some of the, I mean, I know that you've been playing some of these tunes, you've been playing a lot live as the duo, but, you know, listening just from albums, it's a change, and I think it's exciting. So can you kind of explain where it came from and talk a little bit about that?
Well, we started playing a lot as a duo. We were just enjoying ourselves playing two guitar arrangements, and we were listening to a lot of Borelli Legren and Luke
Sylvan,
I always forget his last name, and just loving that CD and loving Tommy Emmanuel and just, you know, so many other great guitarists. And so we just started sitting around playing different arrangements of songs and enjoying doing that, and one thing led to another, and then we wound up working up a whole set's worth, and also intermixing it with Incendio songs, and just started getting out and playing like that, and people responded really well to it.
And Incendio stays really busy, but there is a kind of a lull that happens between like November and February, you know, and usually we'll have an album project or something to fill in with that, but somewhere in that time too, we had enjoyed always kind of kicking back ideas. Wouldn't it be cool if we did, you know, tried this song or tried that song? And then it began to take on a life of its own. We played the Mill Pond Festival probably 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was the first time we'd come out and played for a bunch of people. It's with Bishop, California. We have a nice relationship with them up there. And they said, come on, we'll do some tunes out there. And then that kind of snowballed from there to continue doing it. And then he just said kind of the time between that and China was the gestation period of doing these tunes and learning each other's rhythms, because even while we're together and even though we're married, you know, you'll have a different approach. I primarily play, you know, soloing kind of stuff, but it's Lisa that's always been the finger-picking person. She has the classical chops and also loves, like you said, Tommy Emmanuel and Richard Thompson, and has picked up a lot of stuff from that. So she provides the bedrock foundation to this, in addition to doing a fair amount of soloing, which she doesn't do on guitar, obviously, at Incendio. So
yeah, well, I know that you know, seeing Incendio play, you're featured on a couple of songs where you actually sit and play guitar, but you're on the bass most of the time,
yeah.
And a lot of people might not know that she majored in guitar, and she's you're a pretty accomplished guitarist. I don't mean to talk in third person.
Yeah.
I'm looking at JP, but you're a really accomplished guitarist, and it's nice because I really think you show your stuff on the album, and it's really, you're pretty aggressive strumming and picking techniques and stuff. And I it's good to see that because there's more to you than just a 4 or 5 string bass. I mean, there's a lot more to who you are.
Yeah, thank you.
And the other thing is, you know, with the Incendio albums and with Carpe Duran, Lisa's always been very much an equal partner with Jim and myself in terms of mixing and making production decisions, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we just brought back that to the fore because Lisa had to throw down, and there's some, you know, complicated pieces on here. She's, you know, I'm basically adding a solo in classical gas. That's all her, you know? So it is,
yes.
It is a really nice showcase,
yeah,
you know, for
really
what she does.
And that arrangement was an arrangement that my first guitar teacher gave me back when I was 11.
Let's freak some people out. Burdell Mathis,
yeah, in Hollywood. I used to study with him, and I still have a lot of those arrangements that he did. And I started pulling them back out again and looking at them and started working on that, going, yeah, this is really cool. And
I remember I could do this. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to do this.
Well, I mean, I know, too. Now, I'm just going to throw something out there, too, about you were talking about Lisa being a major part of the songwriting when you guys do with the group.
Sure.
Well, you came out with an album a few years back, Wait for the Spring, which was it's a totally different thing. But you did, you know, a bunch of songwriting. I love that song that the Queen wrote.
She still loves the Queen.
She still loves the Queen, and she got was it an email or a letter?
A letter from the Queen. I sent it to her.
That just blows me away.
I did, too. I ripped open the letter and I was like, "What? Oh my God! I just ripped this letter open."
Yeah. But she, you know, that album is a very interesting album. It's more pop oriented, more song oriented. and you sing on it and stuff, and it's a beautiful album. I mean, it's really nice. But again, it showed you did some of the guitar. You did a lot of the guitar playing on there too. But this album, A Bridge Between, really shows your chops.
Yeah, thanks. It's just the two of us, so it's pretty bare.
I mean, you're a monster. I mean that in a good way, but you are a monster. But anyway, now how the hell did you guys go to China? What was that about? How did that happen? That's an interesting, because I remember you said, hey, we're leaving. We're going to China. We'll see you later. Bye.
You know, it just shows you that just networking and talking to people and meeting people, and that's how you find so many of these things. And we were playing with the ballet. I guess you know that Incendio plays with Ballet Fantastique.
We've wonderful done that troupe up in Eugene, Oregon. They played the Holt Center.
We've done a few things with them, and we did Zorro with them a couple of years ago now. They choreographed to our music and to Kim Angelus's music, who's an amazing violinist, and her husband, Yosef, that plays guitar. Mm-hmm. So we played live with the ballet, as did they. So we were talking, and one thing led to another, and they said, they just got back from China. And I said, really? You know, would you mind sharing your contact? And she goes, oh, no, they'd love to have you. So she shared it with me. I wrote to him, and first year, it didn't work out, and the next year, they wanted to have us, and it was a lot of back and forth, and finally, I just said, well, maybe it'd be easier if we came as a duo, just trying to get some discussion on it, and he goes, great, come as a duo. It was like no discussion. It was like, you're coming as a duo. It was like, oh, we're going to play a big world festival, just the two of us. Okay. So we did.
Yeah, that was the unexpected kick in the pants that sometimes you need. It's like, okay, we're okay, I guess we're going to do this. And, you know, I visited Japan. I think you've been to Australia. Japan. Yeah, but we had never collectively been, you know, together.
Well, we went to Finland.
Right.
A blues band.
We hadn't done any country in Asia together. And, you know, had some sense of the cultural thing that you throw yourself into as a musician. And thankfully, the promoter was awesome. The people surrounded with the three dates that we had to do were awesome, and then it just becomes, wow, you're in a foreign land trying to communicate, you know, kind of a Americana almost kind of music filtered through Spanish guitars, through a culture that doesn't have necessarily a strong familiarity. They may have familiarity with songs on a pop level, but it's like you're starting from ground zero, but it's instrumental, and you've got to reach hearts. That's what you have to do when you go out and play. And thankfully, the audiences were really receptive, and it did have force us to definitely kick our game up.
Yeah. Well, now when you were playing, did you have to really develop a new set to play for China, or were you already doing covers? Were you already doing? And I think you need to explain a little bit the while you're doing that, explain the concept of the album. Because there's covers and original, right?
Oh, go ahead.
I'm not really sure what ended up happening. We had the two parts of the album that were already being worked on, where we already had a lot of covers, and we were already doing a lot of Incendio tunes as a duo, like stripped down,
right?
And that was the core of what we were doing, and it was very cool to kind of, you had to cover a lot of ground when you're doing Jaco y Paco or Espiritu or most of the, you know, the songs that Lisa and I primarily have contributed to the project that is Incendio. We concentrate primarily on our tunes, and it was like digging back into those. So between those, it was a pretty good workout. So we already had that set, and we definitely skewed it at different shows. Like there have been duo shows that we did that were primarily Incendio songs. We've done other shows that were all covers. Occasional surprises even to us, like when we pull something out, you know, at the last minute, like Close to You by the Carpenters or something. You can definitely be lighter on your feet and making more random decisions as you go along. But yeah, by the time we had reached China, as you can see from some of the stuff that's online at YouTube, if you type in Carpe Duran, we did Jaco y Paco out at the festival, and that got a nice response. We had closed the show with Crazy Train. Some people recognize that.
We just tried to really do a lot of up-tempo stuff, especially at the festival, the last big festival. We just played and saw what people would respond to.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's interesting, because I remember, like, I just want to mention that you guys just played on Ilona Europa's Accent on TV just previously to this show. And you played, I don't even... I don't know if that piece, you played two pieces from the album,
yep.
But you had played before, and the last time you had been on their show, you played a piece, an Incendio piece, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
You played an Incendio piece. Jockers, huh? So I knew that. I knew you had done that, but I thought it was interesting that you did the covers. I thought that was kind of, that was a different thing. And it was interesting because it's part of the album, and it's an interest, you're doing some interesting, well, let's mention some of them that you're doing here. Wichita Lineman, I think is, that's Everybody Wants to Rule the World. When I got the clips, that was the first one. I'm like, how's he going to do
it? When we play that, people just like, oh, they just get so excited.
They love it. Yeah, it's we love that song. We, you know, it's a universal kind of, yeah. People love it.
And then you did, which you did on Ilona's show, Paint It Black, mm-hmm. which just got me in my whole Stones thing. And then Classical Gas, which features Lisa on there. Scarborough Affair, I thought that was interesting. That's not an easy piece to play because they're doing all sorts of layers on the original. And Time After Time, which was the first thing that I heard posted, which mm-hmm. is a beautiful version, and it works really well. And then there's the original stuff, A Bridge Between, Mountain Song, and where is it?
A Thought for Larry.
Now, the piece that I just played, let's talk a little bit about that, because that's another thing that you, well, there's a couple of things that you've done that you haven't done before. One is this album is basically, though you did it in the studio, it's a live album. It's you two guys playing. It's the two guitars. If you were cutting the disc, that's direct to disc. Mm-hmm. It's just that you did it digitally. Now, and then also, too, Bridge Between, you're using a steel string, right?
Yes.
One thing you're going to ask, which you asked earlier, which is true, that there was the overarching concept for this originally, since we weren't going to include Incendio tunes, was going to be to do it all covers. That was the original concept, like a year ago or whatever, months ago. Then it crystallized into a different thing. We started doing Mountain Song, and I would say that the steel string originals were kind of the last thing. We're like, you know, this is a different, let's just go in this direction and see what happens, and they seem to fit. And then we decided to do them on steel strings. And I think it still works because it's us playing them, and it's still very, very intimate. The timbre is definitely different, but it seems to fit. The vibe of the music is a little more reserved. It's a little more back. It's similar to actually what we do with Incendio with Vihuela, except their cover tunes, which is a very stripped down album that we did in 2009.
There was a couple things that happened with using the steel string. One was, you know, JP and I write a lot of production music, right, for a lot of libraries. And so inevitably, whenever we write, there's some songs on there that we go, oh no, we're not giving that up. We like that song. We're keeping that song. And one of them was A Thought for You. So we had written that on steel string for the library, and then we wrote them another song, and we kept that. So it was written on steel string, so we wanted to do it as it was conceived, and we thought that would work fine. And the other thing was a dear friend of mine in a group called Red Van Gogh that I'd been with years ago passed away, just an amazing guitar player, Larry Weber. And he had a Loudon, and his wife lent it to me for a little while after... after he'd passed. And so I started playing it, and Larry always played in open tunings, all sorts of tunings. So I tuned to Dadgad, and I just started playing. And A Thought for You was one of the first songs that came out on his guitar. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I'd channeled Larry, and we dedicated that song to Larry. I started playing, and then JP came in and started, you know, responding to what I was playing. And that's how that song came about. And
yeah. Now I'm going to play the clip in a second, but... this was one break from the norm. You did overdub, right, to get that guitar, if I'm correct?
For A Thought for You, yeah. If that's what you're going to play for Larry.
I'm going to play it, but go ahead and set it up.
On that one, it was... she had tracked the part on Loudon. We're like, okay, well, we can play it together. We do it. This one, we decided to really, really get just a nice sound and just have her start, and I'm going to add my part on top of it. And I was going to do it with a Taylor, and I broke a string with a Taylor. It was like, oh, okay, I don't know about that. And then it was, well, do it with a Loudon and see how it comes out. So Larry's song is all on Larry's guitar. So it was very like, cool. Oh, okay, maybe that's the reason we broke the string. Then it becomes philosophical, and then like, of course, that's the one we have to release. So that's why we did it.
Okay, let me play the clip, and then we can talk a little more about that. Here we go. This is A Thought for You. ¶¶ that sounds like three guitars. Was there three on there?
No.
Because I'm hearing like the finger picking. That's one. That's you. Because it sounds like, now, how did you mic that? Because I'm hearing it go across.
We did the standard miking that we did. So the thought there is, I wanted to tell this story, so I'm doing this. We've had the benefit of playing for years with Incendio and tweaking our guitar sounds, and Jim tweaking his guitar sounds, and all of us working together. So we have that kind of years of experience. And our go-to mic, we have an Audio Technica endorsement. Our go-to mic has been the 4033 for years. Mm-hmm. And it was only a couple of years ago. So everybody is like writing this down at home for notes on what to do. We love the 4033. It doesn't have a super amount of bottom. It has a beautiful clear top. And years after we were using it, Lisa used to play with Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac. She mm-hmm. did his 92-93 mm-hmm. tour. And I was reading an interview with Keith Olsen. He was talking about miking all this stuff. And he goes, you know what the secret weapon is of all, you know, for the guitars? It's the 4033. And so you get those little moments of vindication where you're like, well, okay, it's not just me. Somebody else that has done really well loves this mic. So that was really, really cool. And that's a fundamental sound. So we know how to use that relatively well. We also, for this particular CD, we were friends with, introduced by a good friend of ours, Lindsay Tomasic, to Dave Perlman. And Dave Perlman is making these amazing handmade microphones here in Los Angeles. And we use the TM1, and that was the sound of the album. That's the sound of everything on this album, is the TM1 through the Avalon 737.
By the bridge.
Perlman's the 12th fret.
Yep, right.
And the 4333 is on the bridge. He's going through the 737, and the 4033 is going through a Motu Mark II, which has been modified by Black Lion Audio in Chicago. And for Signal Path, where we're talking about clarity and all that kind of stuff, it's all about the clocking, and it took us years to, you know, like if you have a lot of money in a studio and you're going to do people already know this, but for people like us where it's like you're developing home studio and you're always trying to push, you know, I want it to sound like a $60,000 studio when I have a $60 budget, you know, that kind of thing. And Black Lion Audio has this little clocking box. A lot of people know like the Big Ben. A lot of people use that for clocking for years.
Yeah, I have.
Black Lion Audio had this cool little box, and when we hooked that in and had the Motu modded by them, the sound was like night and day. So you want obviously great mics, really, really great clear preamps, and a nice quiet place to record. And fortunately, we've had all those three, and we've learned to neutralize the sounds of the dogs, the parrots, my mom cooking her delicious food from
She's
time
a good
to time.
Cook, yes.
Yeah. And get everything really quiet to do it, and that's what you're able to hear in this recording is the detail.
Now these mm-hmm. the Perlman and the 4033, they're about a foot and a half away.
Maybe a foot. I mean, it's right around there. It's not much further. We close mic and we just keep play with the angling, you know, until we get something that sounds great.
And we play with the distance a little bit too. It's not a standard thing. It will tend to be a little more standard for me because I'm doing a lot of single string leads, and you've got to find the balance point about 8 to 12 inches away, especially, and not the sound hole. At the 12th fret sneak facing the sound hole is a better sound. It's not as boomy. But for Lisa, for example, you know, what she's doing on a more delicate part like Scarborough Fair is not the same as mm-hmm. what she's doing for the Stones tune.
Yeah, Painted Black, where
she's strumming, you know, really significantly hard. So we did play a little bit with the distance there and with the gain, so that it was just about in the right place, and tried to stay consistent with that.
But with Incendio, normally you use a single point mic. You go mono.
Yeah.
Now this time you use two, right?
Yeah. And actually, Jim is probably out there listening to this. That kind of came as a result of talking with Jim, because we've gone back and forth and everything. We did stereo mics on the first Incendio CD, Misterioso, and promptly found that when you're mixing that many synths and drums and drum machines and tablas, and it's probably
much.
Better to have a really full, nice-sounding single-point sound. It's nice to place it in stereo, but it becomes too cluttered, and the wideness gets lost because so many other things are going on. And Jim, you know, put out a great solo CD called Encantado early, a couple of months ago, almost a year ago. It was a while ago. And prior to him recording and us recording this, because we're working with Incendio all the time and talking about these things, he's like, I'm really thinking of going back to the stereo guitars. And I was actually kind of dissuasive. I was like, yeah, but, you know, they're hard to mix when you got a lot of stuff going on. And he definitely did some of that, and the album sounds beautiful. But for us, because it was so stark, we're like, well, that's probably a good idea back for this album. So that was kind of a result of a conversation with him.
Well, when you guys did tracking where you played together, how did you mic it? Did you have two on each of you, or mm-hmm. did you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did you have two Perlmans and two Audio Technicas, or did you?
I think we had.
Yeah. I mean, that's just. Yeah.
Okay. So you basically did both of you guys stereo. Because I remember we had Mojave Audio here.
Yeah, great.
And
lights.
They had a Royer ribbon and the Mojave condenser. And I was demoing, and I brought my 12 strings in and my Martin and stuff, and it just sounded huge with the stereo mics. I mean, it was amazing. It's a great sound.
It is, and that's probably why it sounds like there's three people playing, because you've got that stereo spread, and it's just...
And it has to be said, the Loudon. I mean, that thing has just got so many overtones.
But I think that you might be right, because you're doing like something on the... You were finger picking something where I hear the lower strings and then I hear the higher strings, and it seemed like it was so it must be the mic, the different mics picking it up and pulling, you know, the Audio Technica was grabbing the higher frequencies maybe more than the Perlman. Mm-hmm. It was nice. It had like a stereo feel. It was kind of interesting.
After you do this, just we've been really in this acoustic realm for a very long time, so you have your go-to things, and you kind of have a sense of using the equipment to whatever makes you sound best. I mean, it sounds kind of silly, but you can get all the mics. You can get it. The best thing is knowing your speakers, knowing the room, the stuff that we were taught years ago, you know, get NS10s. If you can make them sound good on that, they'll sound good everywhere. So, you know, use those as monitors, get the best pre's you can. And in our case, keeping the guitar approach kind of standard for us, the Diodarios, the phosphor bronze, usually on the steels, and always for the Spanish guitars, red card, Savarez red card. We are Savarez endorsees. We've tried a lot of the other strings. They're just fine, but they do not seem to work as well on our guitars as Savarez red card for us. We also try the Tomatitos, and those are pretty cool. I tend to alternate between those, and Lee's, I think, sticks more to the red card.
I always go back to the red card. They just sound better on my guitars.
Yeah. Okay, but you now, and speaking of guitars, for the classicals, you use the Maldonado and the Alvarez?
Yeah, I use the Alvarez.
The Airy, yeah, that was made by the master builder. And he, I think, passed away last year or the year before or something like that. So Lisa has one of the last hand-built models by the original master, mm-hmm. Japanese master builder.
So the and then you, besides the Loudon, what other acoustic steel strings did you use?
Oh, I've got an old Taylor, and it's beautiful. And that's what JP was playing.
It's a smaller body Taylor, and it sings. It doesn't have, it's a different guitar than the Loudon, but also has tremendous overtones, and it kind of skewed it a different way. So those are very complimentary, and those are the ones you heard on the first cut.
Right. Now I'm going to play your other original Mountain Song. What was used on that?
Those were done. That one was done on the nylon string.
On the nylon string.
Yeah. Okay, and that's a regular song from our set, and is actually the first tune we ever wrote together.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The first tune.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just sitting around jamming.
That's an oldie but a goodie. Yeah. Well, you guys have been around for a long time.
I developed I was playing with a finger picking thing, and I'm not like really a finger picker. I was doing this, and Lisa said, oh, that's kind of cool, and picked it up with her technique and her vision, and said, oh, okay, it can be this. And interestingly, because we're talking about doing live and all this is a cut between take two and take three. So the middle section that is kind of a minory thing, we never played it that way ever. I try to kind of evoke a little bit of it when we were rehearsing for this weekend show, and I couldn't do it really until I got to the very end of it. It's just like, oh, that's what you did. So we cut the middle section in, and that's just editing, and the fact that we keep the tempos in the relatively same place so that they sound like it was one thing. So that was recorded live, but it's an edit of both take two.
Okay, I don't know if I have. I'm just playing a clip of it. I might not have that edit in here, but let's just take a listen to this the first song they ever wrote. That just blows me away. Mountain Song. An interesting finger picking little riff.
That's all Lisa. Yeah, I couldn't do it if my life depended on it.
I thought I got you into Crosby, Stills, and Nash and folk stuff. I never. You just took the blues and the rock and said the hell with it. So I thought you.
You just went to Hendrix and said it.
I know.
Not known for his finger picking, although he did some really cool acoustic stuff.
Yeah. He had a D45. Mm-hmm. That means something.
Absolutely true. Yes.
But anyway, no, that a beautiful sound. The two guitars blend well together.
Yeah, the sonority of the two. And then we recorded everything just super dry. And then there are so many different plugins, so many different things you could go. We went with IK Multimedia's T-Rex. We got used to using their classic plate stuff. I prefer plate reverbs. We've used halls, we've used different things like that, but they have a really nice comprehensive package there, and we put that on there, and the guitars seem to work well to it, so that's what we ended up using.
Yeah, no, plates, I remember the year before the plug-in plates, and
yeah.
The guitar always sounded really, really sweet through them. They always had a great sound. But the two guitars blend well, the Maldonado with the Alvarez-Yari.
Yeah.
Now, the Alvarez-Yari isn't electric, right? It's just acoustic. There is no electronics in it.
Oh yeah, there is. That's what I use live.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember if I saw that on stage the last time I had seen you guys play with Incendio. No, I mean you use it in Incendio?
Yeah. Whenever we do our trio, yeah, I use that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see. It's a beautiful guitar. It's a really, really nice guitar.
It is. It was originally supposed to be my guitar. the neck was a little thick. It was shaved, and I'm not sure if you would prefer it to be the way it was.
No,
or you're comfortable now with it.
So. No, I like it the way it is.
And, okay,
and
cool.
It wasn't as comfortable for you, so you stayed with the Maldonado. And
yeah.
Now the Alvarez-Yari is cedar with rosewood.
Yep.
And then the Maldonado is cedar with
the rosewood back and sides.
Is it rosewood too?
Yes, Jim, you're listening. Write it in and tell me. I'm not sure. I tried to load with as many details as I could remember, and now I just can't, and it's pathetic and sad. Okay.
Well, here I'm going to play. I have to play this tune because it's the one. I think it's a clever arrangement, and it's one of the covers that you did. This is Everybody Wants to Rule the World. I think we should play this because it's a very interesting arrangement. And again, when I saw the names of the tunes, because they had sent me the album is coming out tomorrow, so they had sent me clips so that I could listen and prepare for the show. And I'm like, what did they do here? I got to check this out. So check this out. This is Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Thank you. a great arrangement. I think it covers, and it sounds pretty full. I'm like, I don't know.
Drop D tuning. That, so it's another alternate tuning that Lee's is playing there.
We just, that took a while. You know, yeah. he came with that one. He was like, let's do this. And I couldn't figure it out at first. I was listening and trying to come up with a part, and then finally tuned it down to D. And, you know, and then you've got to finger the chords differently because you've got the D down. And so we eventually came up with something.
Yeah, now that you're bringing it up, Lisa Woodshed had that song for a long time. She had the technique, but really spent a lot of time trying to, like, which strings and which order and what's placed. And because of the drop D, yeah, it forces you to think differently.
Well, we were just trying to come up with something that sounded good, you know, that was filled, that filled that song out. And then later, at some festival, we heard someone else do it as well. It kind of a different arrangement, but it was like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. So,
that's the other. I wanted to ask you, when we're listening back, is there some compression going on?
There shouldn't be compression that you're hearing. When it goes out, they have a master compressor.
Okay, there is some compression. Because that is actually another kind of distinguishing factor of the Incendio stuff that we did and with this album. Is we really try to avoid any kind of compression. So even if people are hearing, they're hearing a little bit of squish in the outside world, there isn't any on this recording. And that's one thing that's actually kind of been a little bit of a trademark, because it really lets the
air on top.
It really lets the guitars breathe
and
sound natural and get that full bottom end. Because when you begin to compress, you lose a little bit of dynamic range. It just sounds artificial. It sounds pressed in your face. And that's one thing we really wanted to avoid. Bernie Becker mastering, Dale Becker mastered this. His dad has mastered a lot of the other stuff that we did. And both of them together are really about retaining and enhancing pristine sonic quality. So we were very happy with what we handed in. And then when we got it back, we're like, oh, my God, how did you pull this out? And Dale just did a beautiful job.
Well, the real trick, it sounds to me like they didn't have to do a lot to make it sound great, because you already had it. And it's interesting, because the week before, when you were here demonstrating the synth guitar controller, Bo was here, that he engineered Jim Stubblefield's and Cantato, and he's worked on your
Shave a Dream CD.
Yeah, so he's and we were talking about that before the show, about the fact of the dynamics. And there's a book I'm reading now by Bob Katz about mastering audio, and he talks about that, you know, let it breathe. You don't need to. It's not a, in vinyl they had to compress it, because if you didn't compress it and you went too hard, needle could fly off the record. And it was, you know, you don't need that now with digital. You have enough headroom, and it does give you, like, that opening. I think it's Mountain Song. There's a real aggressive hit with the chord, and it's like, it's there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt it. My headset went boom, like, you know, it popped. But I mean, yeah, it does have a lot of air in it, but it's not like, it has space in it. But it's not, it's full. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not thin, like, you know, just playing one note. It's like it has a nice full sound.
And that's part of not adding compression and letting the note breathe and go all the way with the air and not cutting it off.
And as we've said many times on the show before, I've known Jeff since like the fourth grade, and amongst the things that he imparted to me, whether they were Tower of Power direct or Albert Lee's Speechless album, which I adore and listen to this day, I would not have known about that for Jeff. Things that we would talk about at the NAMM show particularly stuck in mind, and one of them was, do you hear the air? Do you hear up in you know, 10,000, 20,000? And, you know, you hear that as an 18-year-old, and you're like, I don't, and you're crazy. But it is absolutely true, and I think the two key things that Lise and I really try to concentrate on, because they are so critically important, is the air, you know, preserving that stuff that's all in that 2,000, 3,000 and above, you know, 2K, 3K and above, just preserving that and making that sound really beautiful. And I think the Audio-Technica is particularly great, the 4333 for that. The Perlman mic also sounds great. But the other thing, which is so critical for all of these recordings, is getting the low mid right. And it's something that I'm happy to say I'm very happy hearing. Incendio relatively consistently has been good at nailing that bottom area. I'm really happy with the old CDs. We also learned some really valuable stuff from Bo, and all that got brought to bear here because, you know, you are playing with it a little bit. It isn't perfect. We have to play with EQ a little bit. That song, for whatever reason, has less bottom. We need to bring it up a little more, and that's where Dale Becker's input was critical.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's true. That's very true. But that it's that high frequency air that makes the Loudon sound so good because it's its overtones. Just like a Martin sounds like a Martin because of the overtones. If I roll off everything at 3K or a little, you know, or so, and hard roll it off, I could play five different guitars and it'll sound fairly the same because you're missing the character. It's just like piano, those overtones. That's what makes a Steinway a Steinway.
Yeah, you know, about, I guess it was maybe 5 years ago now, I recorded Burt Lamb's solo CD, Nascent, and it got a nice write-up in some sound magazine for what great sound it had, and we did the same thing. I mean, I put the 4033 by the 12th fret, and I think we used the Sound Deluxe on that one.
Mm-hmm. U195, I think.
I think that's what we used. It was a while ago. But, you know, it was the same way that we record ours, and it just came out sounding beautiful, and he plays all steel string. But, yeah, we got a nice write-up in a sound magazine about how good it sounded. And
his guitar was even tuned in fifths. He's using some interesting Robert Fripp guitar craft tuning that his wonderful group, the California Guitar Trio, uses. Mm-hmm. And so you're even talking about more bottom and more top, but a really crystalline sound.
And it was all cello suites.
Yeah.
Well, brutal. One of the things I have to suggest for you guys to try out and explore on your next album is a baritone guitar. I just, you know, tuned about a fourth below. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of people on that use it. One of them is Jim Kimo West, who's going to be on it next month. And it's because what you're doing with the tunings and stuff, the style that you play, Lisa, it would really lend itself. I mean, it's a really beautiful
sound.
That would be fun. We just bought a Triss. So that's been fun.
And I loved all that. The Jerry Jones stuff, the Jerry Jones reissues of the Dan Electro stuff. So we were here somewhere here off Ventura Boulevard, and they had one of those, and they had a Telecaster Bajo Sexto that literally had a neck like a bat. That was amazing. I would love it. It was almost like a Fender 6, like the Cream used to use. It was amazing. So, yeah, we could definitely get into some of those low tones, and we're starting to formulate the next, whatever Incendio's next step is, so. That's cool.
I'm trying to convince one of our mutual friends, Jeff Muller. He has a very, very old harp guitar.
Oh, oh nice. Wow.
And original Weisenborn. This is going to be an upcoming show. I'm trying to set it up because I want to talk about it. I think it's an original. It's not a copy. Most of the guys I know that play, like Lindley, they're Weisenborn style guitars. But inside, it's dated. But the harp guitar it's a Knutson, and as I understand, there was only like 160 of them made. I got to find out more about it. I'm still researching it, but yeah, maybe we'll have that. I want it. As soon as we figure it out, we're looking right now to see who to go to restore it, because I have no idea. I mean, these are totally.
Oh, you should talk to Muriel Anderson. She'd know. She plays the harp guitar.
Yeah, I had sent Ed Gerhardt and Don Alder, who have been on the show, and they play those instruments too. I reached out to him, but I'll have to check with Muriel too. There is somebody I heard that's out here, but we're working on that, but you got to check that out.
Yeah.
The harp guitar is a cool. Now, we only got a few minutes left. I just want to mention real quick again, it's A Bridge Between. At midnight, go directly to Amazon and buy this thing. And
iTunes. Or CD.
Yes, it's on all the outlets. But you got some other stuff coming up. Tell us a little bit, because there's a lot happening with you and besides this, with also Incendio.
We are. We want to let people know. Just check out CarbeAndDuran.com. That's the new website that has all our information, all the library CDs, all the productions we've done for other people, the music that has wound up on Law and Order and Star Trek and Bridesmaids. That I think a lot of
the
fans.
The movie The Secret.
That a lot of people don't know about. So all that information is there. If you go to facebook.com/CarbeAndDurand, it's more of information on this, and give us a like there. That would really help out. So that's Carbe Duran, and we're going to actively kind of promote that. We have another show April 8th which is a Friday, at where we just had the CD release party at the Left Coast Wine Bar in Glendale. So all that is still happening, and we'll be doing shows throughout the year. But at the same time, the Mighty Incendio is moving forward with everything. We have a show this coming Thursday at the historic El Cid on Sunset Boulevard. And we're on at 9 o'clock. We're playing with our good friend Rob Fawcett and the C-Words. We did a guest spot on his CD, Old Am Heart, that had come out a couple months ago.
And Rob is on at 8.
Rob's on at 8. We're on at 9. Then we're playing at Bogey's, which is in Westlake Village. So all our Thousand Oak fans can come out. That's next Tuesday at 7:30. And then we've got a ton of shows coming up. We're returning to Phoenix and to Tucson for the first time in a couple of years next month. The Andy Walls Art Festival as well at the beginning of April. And then our usual jaunt through the East Coast. We've been asked back to Bethlehem Music Fest for the third time. And that's really gratifying. So that will be, you know, we'll just be rocking there. Jim will be up there, and we'll be out there with Tim Curl, our drummer. And we're doing some shows as well with Aubrey Richmond on violin, which is really, really cool, filling out the sound very nicely. So all of those things are happening. And in addition to that, because you give me a little time to discuss it and tell, in the next few days, weeks, we are finally putting together some of the footage that we filmed and multi-tracks that we recorded over last year's tour. And everything sounds really nice and looks great, but the mixes that are coming from right now from Music Fest are breathtaking. I think they're the best live things we've ever done. They sound so fantastic. He did a great job, but we're unearthing other things too. We recorded a beautiful show at Mount Chunk Opera House in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania last year, thanks to our good friends at Purple Audio. So that came out really nicely. So we're kind of sifting through all that right now.
So is that just audio, or is it audio and
video? It's audio and video. And multi-camera video. So we have some very cool things that we're going to be adding to the Incendio channel very soon.
Well, I think you guys are overdue for another live album. Live at the Fillmore East, but I know it doesn't exist anymore, but Incendio.
That'd be hard.
And I gotta say, to respond, because Jim did write in, he said that the Maldonado's German spruce top, Spanish Spanish cypress back and sides, and for the Alvarez, cedar top, Indian rosewood back and sides. He knows.
No, he does know. And and he's gonna be, speaking of, I have to throw that in too. Speaking of Jim, he was gigging a little bit in he was in Florida with Eric Hansen, and he's going to be coming out here and playing out here, so be prepared for that. Jim and Eric are going to be doing that, some gigs together.
Eric is a monstrous player and a good friend to Incendio, and he and Jim are going to sound great together, so check that out sometime, hopefully in June that'll happen. You guys will be able to do that show, I guess, in a couple of weeks.
And I know it's already past the season, but your O Night Divine for Incendio, that album, the Christmas album, is great. So I recommend everybody beat the Christmas rush. Buy it now. You know, buy it now.
So great stocking stuffers.
That's right. Now,
great Easter CD.
Yes, that's right. It doesn't matter. It applies for everything. But anyway, I want to thank you guys again. It's such great. I wish you much success with this album. I think it's going to really be a big one for you. And it's a real pleasure to have you guys back on. It's always a pleasure to have you guys here. And I want to leave with another cut from Bridge Between, which I think is one of my favorites. And you actually did a video of this. This is Crazy Train.
By Ozzy Osbourne. A tribute to Ozzy and the late, great Randy Rhoads.
So everybody have a great night. Thank you guys again.
Thanks,
I love
Jeff.
You guys. You guys are the
Bless
best.
You, Jeff.
And here's Crazy Train, the true JP here. This is the real JP coming out here. Crazy Train. Everybody have a great night.